Well, good morning. Welcome into the show. I don't know why it looked like we didn't go. I the new music set me off, Jerome. I didn't know. I was enjoying it there. Good morning. How are you, Jerome? Jerome Bayek there.
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, we're getting a little funky there, and got caught up in the tunes.
No, I liked it. I liked that. New opener, because it's a new day in America as we retaliate against the loss of three of our soldiers who came home yesterday. Thankfully, Joe Biden didn't look at his watch as things were unfolding there, as the transition from the airplane to, I see those flag draped caskets. Just really, I don't know, every time I see that, it brings out deep emotions in me. I'm sure you too, everyone that's listening. We're going to, of course, need to talk about what happened yesterday afternoon, as it was reported that 125 missiles were launched onto several strike sites in mostly Syria, I guess also just barely into Iraq in the Anbar province. A lot of criticism coming, too little, too late. Some have said a fireworks show, really no substantive deterrence by that. Dakota Wood will join us at 8:25. You'll want to tune in then, because Dakota Wood, being, of course, a Marine, having been involved in the Iraqi action and a strategic guy, for sure, will be able to fill in some blanks on that and give us his assessment of where we stand in what is an increasingly tense Middle East conflict. And there's other stuff going on, too. The numbers, the poll numbers, we seem to have disparate poll numbers. Some polls, the Quinnipiac poll, suggesting that this is by no means anything but a neck and neck horse race at this point between Joe Biden, Donald Trump. On the other hand, Fox News polls and others saying that, especially in those swing states, it looks like Trump has a bit of a lead. Certainly not a comfortable one. More comfortable with Nikki Haley, until you throw in the third party candidate. And then in a hypothetical race, that's a problem. So that's an interesting bit of fodder for this morning. Big tech hearings this week. Fascinating how this is, what, the fourth or fifth year that Zuck and others have shown up at the conference. And interesting goings on. A lot of good campaign ad material. Not sure things are going to change for the safety of our children. The ugly details of the jobs report. You may have heard the headline about the jobs report. I have some deeper dive that we'll be taking. And the border fiasco continues to unfold, literally an invasion at this time. This is an invasion. This is not a mass migration. This is an invasion. And there's no other way to put it. Yes, it's not a uniformed army that's invading, but certainly we know that the multiple terrorists on the terrorist list have been apprehended, or at least seen many probably that we don't know about, those gotaways, those so-called gotaways. So we have tons to talk about. Larry Behrens will be joining us about energy, our energy future. Yeah, I've read conflicting reports, oil production at all-time highs in the United States. On the other hand, prices spiking in various areas. I know in mid-Missouri, prices spike. Jerome, what's going on with local fuel prices? Have you seen any big spike in the last few days?
Yeah, all of like last week, it was around, you know, $2.50 a gallon where I'm at. Now it's back up to $3 again. Seemingly felt like it was almost overnight. So I'm not 100% sure what's causing that, but it's getting ridiculous again.
Well, Larry Behrens, who you hear here on News Talk STL, will be joining us in the next hour, top of the hour. And Virginia Cruda, of course, who always has multiple topics that she is well-versed on talking and delving into. We'll talk with her about that, including the unfolding events in the Middle East. Apparently a multi-tiered retaliation. Is that what the United States does now? And we wait till we're gut-punched and then we retaliate and see if we can knock the other guy at least down? We never ever seem to knock them out. So she'll join us. Rob Carter from The Rob Carter Show. Newly now, Monday through Friday on weeknights here on News Talk STL, will be at 8:06. He'll be talking to us as well. So tons to talk about. And, of course, your voice welcomed all morning long. 314-912-1019. We know we can catch you, as you can catch us, on the Facebook feed, the Rumble feed, the YouTube feed, right? I think all three feeds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Three feeds. Oh, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the border. The border continues to plague me, because I'm troubled how the numbers in the polls can look as close as they are. Let me play clip four for you here. This is a clip from Massachusetts Governor Patricia Healey and Boston Mayor Wu. Now, remember Boston Mayor Wu, who gave an invitation to staffers that I think was errantly sent out a few weeks ago about a holiday party. There was going to be a non-white. If you're non-white, you're invited to this party. So these clearly deranged, mentally deranged people that are invoking racism to cure racism. That's the progressive mantra. That's the first book of their Bible, their religious Bible on progressivism and the woke Bible. They're touring a struggling community center, like an activity center for youth and others, which has been repurposed as an alien camp. And listen what was said.
Recreational center in Roxbury, now a temporary safety net site with beds, play areas, and other necessities for incoming migrant families that the governor and community leaders toured today.
We're here today because we really don't have a choice.
Governor Healey, you do have a choice. Well, you did have a choice. It's called, you invoked a sanctuary city. Boston invoked a sanctuary city policy that doesn't allow ICE agents to come in, round up these people, and deport them. You also have a choice. You're a part of a movement, a party that endorsed Joe Biden, who has, in a way, made these people legal in many cases by giving them mass parole, which was clearly, by the letter in the law of the statute, designed to only apply on a case-to-case basis, but they've opened the doors through that so that technically you could argue that they're legal. But you were part of it, Ms. Healey, and all of the blue voters that voted with you and for Joe Biden and for your movement, you're part of it. But you can now go back and you can go to the city council and you can say, we are no longer a sanctuary city. We no longer have to, by the way, in Boston, I think in all of Massachusetts, you have to supply, I think it's in Boston particularly, you have to supply shelter. They have a right to shelter. You can go and undo that. You can talk with your buddy there, Mayor Wu, Michelle Wu, and you can say, enough, we're done. Instead, they take away the recreational center that was probably the only organized and structured and disciplined environment in which these children, which often come from horrid environments, you know, single parent homes where moms may or may not be around to take a look at, to keep an eye on them, drug infested neighborhoods, gangs ruling the streets in those neighborhoods. And this is a way to get some different environment, a better way, if you will, for these people. Instead, the kids are now thrown out of the recreational center and we've set up what amounts to a hotel for the illegals. They're given money, they're given food, they're given health care, they're given clothing. They're absolutely taken care of. And if this isn't an American travesty as well as an American tragedy, that it was both endorsed and encouraged by a major party that thus far continues to win elections despite what the populist movement wants. It's an amazing thing. Jerome, can you believe that in this area where kids probably need this rec center more than they would in Chesterfield or O'Fallon or, you know, South County, St. Peter's. Can you believe it? This is what they do. They take this away.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous because I think a lot of studies have shown by now that, you know, playtime and having a safe space for children to be able to explore and have fun is good for their development as well as their socializing skills early on. So basically what we're saying is you can no longer develop as a child. We need this place for people that are not supposed to be here at all anyways. And I've seen people online actually defending a lot of this, saying like they're citing the asylum seekers and refugees clause. Saying that they're not coming here legally, they're coming here as asylum seekers, and that somehow makes it any different or better when we're closing down schools and playgrounds and opening them up so that way we can house these people we don't have the infrastructure for. Am I wrong?
Yeah, good point. No, you're absolutely right. And the asylum, as I understand it, is meant for people that are under political, personal, and physical persecution. This is not about, my wife made a comment the other day, and I think anyone who's looked at the streams, Jerome, you've seen the streams of people. These are able-bodied, 20 to 30 year old men, for the most part, or women in some cases, with their families that have, I'm seeing branded, sweatsuits and t-shirts. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't appear as though they're under any kind of persecution. Normally you think that people are under persecution in their country would be in rags, right? I mean, they'd be just looking squalid, but they don't. These people are just coming for a better life. If that is what our asylum statutes is meant to encourage, well, that's a simple fix too. You're absolutely right. It matters not if the current law is somehow loopholing them in by invitation of Joe Biden. Why not a quick mass movement in the Congress to say we're changing the law? It no longer applies. No, sorry.
And the other key issue I was thinking of the other day is what happens, you know, if they're coming here for a better life, what happens when the better life is no longer available here? Are they all just going to pick up and go to Canada or, you know, where?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And another note on the asylum thing. When Donald Trump had the policy of stay in Mexico, yeah, you can apply for asylum all you want. Sorry, we only have two judges doing those court cases. So, you know, well, you have to wait your turn. I think that would discourage people. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, it's not as easy as we thought. We don't just walk across the Rio Grande and we're here. Once they're in, I keep using the analogy of termites. Oh, Randy, you sound like a Nazi. That sounds xenophobic. Oh, my God. No, I think of termites. You know, there's this thing where they put the termite bait cages outside, or you put the, I forget what the chemical is, that they flood the outside of your foundation, the dirt all around, the perimeter, so that the termites never come in. They never start getting into the baseboard, the thing that sits on, what is that that sits on top of your foundation? And then there's the joist, the header over there. You know, they never get it. Once they get a foothold, you're in trouble. And that's the problem. There is no reason to let these people in. You meet them at the border. You shut the door. Remember that famous scene in The Wizard of Oz when the guy, Dorothy's knocking at the door. And the guy from The Wizard of Oz, you know, he's got the green hat on. He opens the door. He looks at, what do you want? And she, oh, we want to meet the wizard. Slam. The door goes slam. That's it. And they're back in the poppy fields, right? That's the image that we need to demand as a population. We need to demand that. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we demand, and our politicians, who in some of the latest polls, like usual, are among the lowest valued people, trusted people. I don't know about valued. Well, maybe they go hand in hand. They're the lowest among the lowest group of people in terms of public trust in trusting polls. And there's no wonder. It's because they're not listening to us. They're not even listening to their own on the blue side of the fence. Why aren't blue politicians at the federal level listening to Brandon Johnson of Chicago, Michelle Wu in Boston, Eric Adams in New York? I mean, what's the guy's name out in Denver? 30 or 40,000 of them out there on a per capita basis relative to the size of the town. Denver is probably the most assaulted by this. And I for one say, you know what? You made your bed, sleep in it. Go ahead, sleep with the termites. Right? Bed bugs. You got the bed bugs with you. Sleep with it. Hope you enjoy all the bites. That's great. And meanwhile, their citizens suffer. Well, maybe their citizens will start making some different choices. When we come back, we'll delve into the social media hearings and ask your opinion about what's the best way forward to protect our children and maybe to protect ourselves from the double-edged sword of social media. More coming up on Newstalk STL 101.9 94.1, the Randy Tobler Show with Jerome. I am Randy Tobler. 314-912-1019. Give us a buzz.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer, on Newstalk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019. This is Newstalk STL.
Do you ever wonder why you scratch your head and you look at the world and you look at the way things are going in the United States? You look at the public policy that's affecting our children so dramatically, with a generation now, Generation Z, that really grew up, the first generation to really grow up totally under the influence and really as essentially becoming bionic human beings. Think about it. Connected to what used to take, well, the size of a living room with computers back in the 60s, 70s when mainframe computers started. And now these kids have this at the tip of their fingers. Access to friends, access to arguably interesting stuff. I mean, boy, how many of us are able to solve interesting home fix-it problems with YouTube? And you know, I learned that next time my oil, my fuel filter gels up on my diesel, I'm going to change my own fuel filter now. I'm going to do it. I have the YouTube inspiration to do it now. And kids, I think social media is such a part of their lives that we have to see what has it meant in terms of the impact on their lives, the good, the bad, and yes, the ugly. And we've seen the anxiety levels of especially sort of that middle school age, those teenage years, the tweens and teens. We've seen anxiety, depression, rates of suicide, suicide attempts skyrocket since the onset of the availability of social media. Sadly, we've seen child predation by pedophiles, by drug dealers, by and aside from that, I mean, it's just the negativity that we can see with kids, especially girls that aspire to. Girls seem to suffer from the uncertainty of the transition and the aspiration to the perfect when their bodies are not perfect. They're not the supermodels that they see on the commercials. And now they see every day with filtered, modified views of their friends, people that aren't their friends. And then they get some online creep who shows interest in them when they're not interested in them. And Facebook's a part of that. Instagram's a part of that. TikTok's a part of that. So there were hearings again. Congress, under the, I think, guidance of the provisions in the Constitution and the directives that we expect as a self-governing society for our government to protect the most innocent from evil. I mean, you know, the safety of the people, and particularly those who can't fend for themselves. I think the government does have some role in that. So they drag the TikTok and X and Snap and Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, bosses into a big Senate committee hearing. And sitting behind Zuckerberg and the rest of them are, of course, the people holding the signs, the parents of children who have died or been brutalized by the pedophiles, the online predators, the drug dealers. Through the algorithmic addictive process that is social media. And this is what Ted Cruz said to Mark Zuckerberg this week.
To potential buyers. Instagram also displayed the following warning screen to individuals who were searching for child abuse material. These results may contain images of child sexual abuse. And then you gave users two choices. Get resources or see results anyway. Mr. Zuckerberg, what the hell were you thinking?
Now, you could call what went on there and what often goes on in congressional hearings as grandstanding. No doubt the cameras were rolling from Ted Cruz's campaign committee and PAC. But you do have to ask the question, I mean, how far will these people go with the proliferation? And by the way, the accumulation of vast sums of money, what's been driving, I understand from the money people, what's been driving the uptick in the markets recently is big tech largely. Meta declared their first dividend on the backs of huge profits this week. And what are you doing? I guess the follow-up question would be, Mr. Zuckerberg, why do you have to do that? Why do you put hey, watch out, a viewer beware, but you don't have to beware, just press here. I mean, really? Is that an invitation to just depravity on a mass scale and of a magnitude that is abhorrent? And then nothing. You would expect nothing but this from Mark Zuckerberg, who, remember, funded many of the, interesting voter practices and voting practices, and giving money to various jurisdictions to assure turnout at the polls back in the 2020 election. Remember that? Zuckerberg was responsible for a lot of funding of some very fishy goings on in county clerk's offices around the country, particularly in swing jurisdictions. Why would that be, I wonder? Because he believes in equality, didn't want to destroy democracy. This is from the side that professes listen to the science when it came to the science, which was only partially true about the vaccines and wasn't readily and early on recognized when the data became available that the vaccines weren't all they were set out to be for everyone. They were valuable for some, but not for everyone. And this is what Zuckerberg said to justify it cynically.
The basic science behind that is that when people are searching for something that is problematic, it's often helpful to, rather than just blocking it, to help direct them towards something that that could be helpful for getting them to get help.
In what I understand, get resources. In what sane universe is there a link for see results anyway?
Well, because okay, there you go. The science suggests that some creep pedophile searching for child abuse material on Mr. Zuckerberg's platform, he's searching for child abuse material, will somehow instantly self-regulate because he sees an option to go get help. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Some creep sitting in his basement trying to seek out and abuse some child online as part of a network is going to say, the light will go on. The enlightenment will happen. The heavens will open. And a voice from God will say, press the see more resources button. from Mr. Zuckerberg, who's always thinking about the creeps and helping them out. Now, Mr. Zuckerberg, they should have laughed. The entire Senate hearing committee there should have just laughed and said, you have to be kidding. Jerome, how absurd was that lame excuse by Mr. Zuckerberg?
Oh, my blood is boiling. You cannot sit there and let somebody searching for that material still have the option to view it and say that you are trying to offer them an alternative. For whatever money they spent designing that button and that feature, and I'm looking at it right now because they printed it out for the hearing, it should just say, seek help. We have automatically forwarded your IP address to the FBI. Somebody will be on the way to make sure that you cannot have access to children. Amen. And that should have been that.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But you see, this displays a mentality. Look, Mr. Zuckerberg probably has, if you were to do a CAT scan of his brain, my guess is that Mark Zuckerberg has a hemispheric proportion ratio. His right brain probably dominates 90% of his calvarium, his skull. Now, the right brain is the one that is the creative brain, but it's also sort of the emotional brain. It's the one that, you know, women are from Venus, right brain, and men are from Mars, left brain. You know, I'm sorry that there's something to that. But the left brain is the analytic, rational, scientific, truly investigative brain. The left brain thinks emotionally. We need left brain. But we need right brain. It's the same right brain, left-handed mentality, the emotional, the nurturing, the caring. We need that input into our society. That's what charities are for. That's what food pantries are for. That's what Larry Rice's shelter for the homeless is for. That's fine. We need that. We need input like that. But you don't nurture criminals. Not until they've been broken. You break them like a horse, like a wild Mustang. You break them. Have you ever seen someone break a horse? It's brutal. And then you nurture them. Then you form a relationship. Then they become an animal that is man's friend. In a similar way, what these people are doing in our inner cities, what they've done for so long since the Great Society, is to encourage, enable, invite, and now politically benefit from a perverted, a misdirected, and I would offer, I think, a nearly criminal use of what is potentially a good. Look, if Mark Zuckerberg said, look, we're gonna put a hard stop on anything like this. Once an algorithm encounters something like this, we're going to put a hard stop. We're making an editorial decision. Free speech only goes so far. And with our great profits that would come from that, of course, because I don't think the creep in his basement who's a pedophile is doing a whole lot of buying on the clickbait you see on Facebook. That we're going to donate to shelters. We're going to donate to youth programs. We're going to donate to, you know, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. That makes sense to me. I could understand that. That's what the science says. But this is the mentality that spreads out from the left, which is you nurture criminals. We're just not giving them enough love. The hugs aren't strong enough. How's that working out for us? Look at the murder rate in our largest city, St. Louis, for crying out loud. The violent crime rate, as people continue to pummel the notion of punishment and accountability for wrongdoing, willful, malevolent wrongdoing. I'm not talking about a mistake. I'm not talking about a kid that gets caught with a six-pack on a Friday night. That's not what I'm talking about, although that kid should be at some point made accountable for that. But what I'm saying is we just don't get it in this country. And Mark Zuckerberg and his friends in social media should be made accountable for it. Why did they escape scrutiny? Why is there a carve out for them when they are essentially, he just said, we use science, they're editing. I'll tell you an edit they did a few years ago. This is what infuriates me. I was proud of myself because I'd had a very difficult hunt, and I was really proud. It was one of those solemn moments. I hunted and hunted and hunted and finally nailed a deer with my crossbow. It was a big deal because a bow kill, even a crossbow kill, it's not the same as a compound bow kill. Okay, I know. I'm getting to where it's difficult because of a shoulder problem for me to pull the compound bow. So I finally bought a crossbow. But you got to have a deer within 30 yards or so to kill it with a crossbow. You have to do some work to do that. So I kill the deer, we field dress the deer, we bring the deer back here to the Liberty Lair. We have a little area where we hoist it up and we let it, you know, let it chill out in the cold before we take it to processing. My wife took a picture of me next to the deer hanging there. Guess what? Facebook shut it down. Inappropriate. This doesn't meet our community standards. Really? An all-American event doesn't meet Facebook's community standards, Mr. Zuckerberg. What science is that teaching? What science does that decision come from, Mr. Zuckerberg? A dead deer that was harvested with a legal hunt somehow in a traditional American moment. Yeah, we post the pictures with the deer still with their fur on and on the ground, and you smile and you look in. We do that too. But you see the hypocrisy of this. So they are editing. They are making decisions. Doesn't that put them in the same vein as publishers? Doesn't that make them subject to the same regulation as if I say something here on the air, which is directly, against FCC regulations? I'm sorry. I'm accountable for that. Keep the dump button very close, Jerome. Keep the dump button very close.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I ask you. You tell me. Where am I wrong here? There's more on that. We got another clip, and it's, I think it's clip 9, Jerome, that really drives this down. And this was the final moment. And this is where I think Josh Hawley probably went a little overboard. I think it probably was a little too heavy on the grandstanding, the bullying, the condescending, which I often criticize senators for. I think Ted Cruz was not condescending. He was asking reasonable questions in a firm and directive manner. But nonetheless, this is what Josh Hawley asked Mark Zuckerberg to do, and he did it. Listen.
Let me ask you this. There's families of victims here today. Have you apologized to the victims? Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
I
Okay, and it's soft. You can't really hear it there. But in fact, Mark Zuckerberg turned around and expressed regret that as a result of the platform and its misuse, I don't believe Mark Zuckerberg did what happened to those children. I don't hold him directly accountable. But instead of grabbing the moment and having a great opportunity, saying, you know, Mr. Cruz, Senator Hawley, Senator Cruz, for 5 years I've come here and we've promised to do better and we haven't done good enough. And look them in the face. I don't think he should have capitulated and just it's not helpful for Hawley to, command him to do that. Essentially, I can go either way on whether that was a class act or a crass act on the part of Josh Hawley, especially from the guy who was so strident on January 6th, and then you saw him running out of the building when things got hot. I thought that was pretty funny. I love you, Josh. I love you. But you know what I mean. but I think it would have been better if he'd have said, you know what? Starting today, we're going to put a hard stop on that. Starting today, I'm going to open a department for complaints against our algorithmic decision making. Starting today, things are going to change at Facebook and Instagram. Will we get it right every time? No. But I pledge to you and I pledge to these families in tribute to their children who have either died or been harmed by people using my platform. I will do everything in my power to change it. No, instead he justifies it on the science. I thought it was shameful. 314-912-1019. Let me know what you think. I've had libertarian leaning conservatives, and I happen to be one, who say, no, that's what the courts are for. Let the courts go after him. Change 230. That's all you need to change. Don't ask him to do anything. It's an open platform. Let it be open. Free speech is free speech. Others say, no. He's got to throttle it down and be regulated, just like Ma Bell was back in the day of the telephone. 314-912-1019. Let me know. We'll be back with more on Randy Tober Show.
Mr. Zuckerberg, what the hell were you thinking?
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
Indeed, they are. Talk lines are open, 314-912-1019, as we roll along in the program. We're keeping an eye on what's going on over in Iraq, Syria, and the very tense Middle East as America launched what is predicted to be a series of multi-tiered strikes on Iranian proxies, and we'll see how that unfolds. If anything breaks, we'll, of course, bring it to you. Mark your phone here and have it wake you up if you're not already awake. At 7:05, we're going to be talking to Larry Behrens just in a few minutes about the future of oil, of energy. Where are we going? And with tensions in the Middle East, I don't see improvement. We'll see what he says. Virginia Crudo at 7:45. Rob Carter from the Rob Carter Show at 8:05. And Dakota Wood, he'll be weighing in on the latest on the U.S. retaliation at 8:25. So it's a packed show all morning. Make a big pot of coffee and keep it here all morning. We want to hear from you as well. Who's on the line there, Jerome? We're going to talk to, we have a caller, I know. Let's get to the caller. Go ahead.
We're going to go ahead and put him on the air right now.
Okay, go ahead. Who is this?
Hi, Randy. It's Lou calling.
And, hey, Lou, how you doing? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing fine. How about you? You sound like you're enjoying yourself.
I'm a little apprehensive because my wife, we're finally going to take down Christmas stuff at the lair, at the Liberty Lair. And that means all day long I'm going to be toting totes, if you know what I mean. But that's okay.
I know exactly.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to point out to you, I don't know that you are aware of this even, but I want to make sure that you are, because I think it's only fair to Josh Hawley that he be presented properly with regard to the last comment you made regarding him running scared out of the building. I've seen the tape that you're talking about many times on many different shows. And when I learned the truth, which I actually learned watching the Greg Gutfeld show, I'm pretty sure is where I remember seeing this, that Josh Hawley did run out of the building, as you said, but not like a scared ninny, you know, running away like a sissy or something. In fact, there were a bunch of people that he allowed, maybe even encouraged, to run out ahead of him, and he was the last one out. So he was not running like a scared ninny out of there. He was clearing the building like everyone else. And if anything, I would say he could be maybe accused of showing some heroic behavior, because he could have been the first one out and not the last one out.
Yeah, noted. Noted. Okay. I still question whether or not, good for you. And I will take that under advisement.
Thank you.
I use it as a metaphor to say, you know, I get tired. I don't know if you do, but I get tired of people that put their clothes on the same way that you and I do, who happen to be talented orators, sitting up on benches higher than we, the common people, in a position of great authority, sometimes and too often, I think, in a condescending manner, basically talking down to people. I
totally get where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
I just want to make one more point, though, that this particular item has been discussed, as I've said. I've seen it on many other liberal shows, and they always bash him. And they usually don't show the whole video either. They only show him running, and then they have a fun time saying, I mean, that's why I use the words ninny, you know, scared running ninny and stuff. Because
I didn't call him a ninny, but he was.
No, I'm saying
that was not a fist up in the moment like we saw him, the strident, you know, walking into the building. But that's okay. I get it. Hey, point well taken. I think both points can be true. He could have done a heroic thing on J6 with that interpretation. I think that he had a great opportunity to say, Mr. Zuckerberg, will you today commit to, by way of apology, changing your policies? That's the real apology. A few words doesn't really matter. Anyway, I got to run on. Lou, thank you. That's what I love about this program. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Call again. 314-912-1019. That's good. That's good. I wasn't aware of the people running out ahead of him at his behest. That's good. Who's up next, Jerome?
We have a caller. Just like to ask you a quick question.
Please, go for it. What's the question?
Hey, hi. This is Tom. Enjoy your show. I enjoyed listening to Rob Carter the other night, but whatever became of Jay Pag's show? I mean, I know he's not a local guy, but...
I don't know what happened to Joe Pags. We'd have to ask management. I don't make those decisions.
I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you know, I realize that he's kind of a syndicated thing, but, you know, and of course, he got pushed back to later times because you weren't actually listening to him live, okay? But I enjoy. I just enjoy everything I'm getting. You know, I got kind of fed up back with another major radio station. That the only reason that I listen to them now is because of a certain baseball team. But anyway, thanks so much for all you guys do.
Hey, well, thank you. And that baseball team let us down last year. I hope they have a better year. But hey, appreciate it, man. I'm telling you, I listen to the show, to Joe Pags. I listen to Shapiro. I listen to Rob. I listen to Larry. I listen to Tim and Chris. I listen to Katie and Columbo. I listen to the entire slate on my
air. I hope we do another thing over there at that View 17, because, I mean, I met a bunch of you that evening, and it was great. Okay,
All right, hey man, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Keep listening.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Keep commenting. All right, thank you. Yeah, I tell you, you won't find a better lineup, and with varying opinions. And you know what? What's really exciting is currently with what's going on in Jefferson City with a lot of. really, there's two sides. It seems like people have sort of drawn sides what's going on in the Missouri Senate and the GOP side. On this station, we have some major stand-up patriots, major players in the Freedom Caucus, Tim Jones and Nick Schroer. I don't think we have any of the major players on the other side represented. I think I maybe have maybe taken a little bit of that side just to give another angle to the whole discussion, because there are a large swath of Republicans in Missouri who, have another view of the whole issue between the Freedom Caucus and leadership. And no doubt the Freedom Caucus is pedal to the metal. The leadership says, yeah, but if you press too hard, you end up in a crash. You know, I don't know. It's interesting as it unfolds. That's what's cool about the station. There's a lot of different opinions. Your opinion always welcome as well. And one thing we can say is I think we all are in a large pail. It's like the pale of Christianity, right? There's a pale of orthodoxy. There's the Episcopalians. There's the Lutherans. There's the Catholics. But there's all Christianity, right? And everyone has a little different theology. But we're all hoping to go to the right place by following the right theology or the right basic biblical word, right? I hope so. When we come back, we're going to talk to Larry Barron, see what's going to go on in terms of what it costs to put in our fuel tank. Stay tuned for more on The Randy Tober Show.